Welcome to Christ Central. We are a church wanting to be a change in our area for God's glory by being disciples and making disciples of Jesus and to be a light to the nations.
Okay, well, it's really wonderful. Right, I'm going to move even further back so I don't do the thing of having to look behind me. There we are. That's not bad. Okay, so you're very welcome. If this is your first time, I'm just going to be sharing with you from God's Word, and we're going to continue a series we've been doing on Acts 2. So if we could have the... Oh, there we are, it's up. There we go. So this is from Acts 2. We've been going through this, and I'm going to read this to you right now, so you can see the words on the screen there. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So this morning we're looking at generosity. The Bible is scattered with all sorts of examples of generosity. And generosity, if I say generosity, you might be thinking generosity equals money. But it's not just about finances. It's not just about being generous with money. There are many other ways that we can be generous. So I'm just going to give you a few examples from Scripture. So we're going to be dipping into lots of bits of Scripture this morning. So ways that you can be generous, just to remind you. You can be generous with your time. In Ephesians 5, it says to be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. So we have time. Time is very precious. How we use it, we have to be careful with. Of course, we have financial resources. In Corinthians, it talks about giving. It talks about a farmer, the one who plants generously, will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So finances, again, is something that we can be generous with. But what about hospitality? One of the things that we like to think we are as a church and want to demonstrate is that we are a place of hospitality where people can come and experience hospitality. In Hebrews, it says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some of you have done this and have entertained angels without realizing it. So we can give generously of both our time and our resources and open our homes or maybe take people or just be generous in the way that we can be hospitable. Spiritual gifts. You might not think, well, spiritual gifts and generosity, do they go hand in hand? Well, if you've been given something by God, a spiritual gift being something that you are able to do something, or there's something that God's given you that you find that comes really easily, comes naturally. So hospitality being one of them. Some of us just have a gift of hospitality. Some might just have a gift of encouraging people. But these gifts are things that we can hold them to ourselves, or we can be generous. We can give them away. We can use these gifts as we've been given them. Possessions. Again, this is quite a big one. In Luke 3, it says this. If you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those that are hungry. So easy. But again, is there room for improvement, perhaps? All of us have lots of stuff. I had a number of shirts I could have worn this morning. Some of you might be thinking, well, why did you choose that one? But, you know, we have stuff. We can give stuff away. We can be generous with what we have. And in a world that's driven by consumerism and individualism, we live in this world where we never seem to quite have enough. And we always want a little bit more. If only I had an extra £500 in my account a month, then everything would be okay. If only I had another room in the house. If only I had another room in, another extra room in the flat. If only I had a flat. If only I had somewhere to live. If only I had a driveway. If only I had a garage. If only I had a garden. Or if only my garden was a little bit bigger. There's always a little bit more that we can want. And there's something about this that is sort of bred in the world, is that there is a little bit more. You just need a little bit more and everything would be okay. But biblical generosity is very different to how the world would perceive we look after our stuff and what we do with our things. It's countercultural, but it actually aligns with an abundant God, a God who has given us so much. And the biblical concept of generosity, it's conveyed through several words, which you can find in Hebrew or in Greek. In the Hebrew, it refers to a free will offering or a voluntary gift. So this really talks about giving out of a generous spirit without being forced to do so. In the Greek, it means a simplicity, sincerity, or generosity of open-heartedness, of selfless giving. So this is what we're talking about when we're talking about biblical generosity. And they both refer to a God who first was so generous with us. So a good place to start, and you may have heard many talks that start with this, let's go right back to the beginning and see what God says, what God did in Genesis, which is exactly what we're going to do. So we're going to have a look at the Old Testament quickly to see if we can learn anything about generosity. So the first picture of generosity in Scripture comes right at the beginning in the story of creation. In Genesis, we see that God created the world. And we see a God who creates the world, I think, very generously. The earth is filled with beauty, it's filled with life, it's filled with creatures, it's filled with plants, it's filled with sea, the seas are swarming with life. And then we have God's creation of humanity, who lives in this amazing place that has been created for his pleasure, for their pleasure. And we have Adam and Eve, who are given a garden overflowing with provision. They have everything they need. You get the impression that they lack nothing. Perhaps, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to an has anyone ever been to an all-inclusive holiday? I mean, they have good things and bad things about them. Some of us have, yeah. So it's a bit like that. It's got everything you could desire. Food there. I mean, you have to work the land. But the fact is that God gave everything. So it'd be like the most amazing all-inclusive holiday, but without the kids screaming. It would be a wonderful place. And God's first command is to be fruitful and multiply, indicating his desire for them to flourish in the abundance of what they've been given. But God's provision wasn't just about providing food. It really reflects the nature of God as the ultimate giver. The world he created was designed to be a place where humanity could enjoy and look after what he had given them from his abundance. So we see something of God's intent in Genesis, that humans would live in communion with God, together with God, with others in creation, sharing freely from what God had given them. So it paints a really, I think, good picture of what having everything in this world for us should look like. So as we dip into how the story unfolds, and we look at Israel, we look at the people of God, and God gives further instruction about generosity. And he talks about the principle of first fruits, which is one of the ways that God taught people to be generous. And this is in Leviticus. And they are to bring the best of their crops as an offering to God. And this is a way of recognizing that everything they had was a gift from God. So they made this offering to God. And it reminded them that actually their lives weren't sustained by themselves, but they were sustained by God. Because no matter what we do, if you put a seed in the ground, it doesn't matter how much we bark at it or, you know, talk nice things to it, the seed will only grow because God is the one who makes life flourish. So this is recognizing God's provision. And another fascinating aspect of generosity, which we read about in the Old Testament, is the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, land is returned to its original owners, debts were forgiven, and slaves were set free. And this was a radical reset designed to ensure that wealth and power didn't accumulate with individuals or certain people, or just the hands of a few who might perhaps not be very good with what they have. So it was a profound act of generosity, which again reflected God's heart for the community, for justice, for equality. And again, this points to God being a God of restoration, of freedom, of not wanting people to hoard their possessions. And it was an expression of trusting in God. Because imagine if you have accumulated a load of stuff, you say, okay, we now need to sort of spread it out a bit, and you need to then trust in God again for his provision. Wouldn't that be amazing if that sort of thing was done today? And a lot of what I'm talking about isn't supposed to be anything of judgment, isn't supposed to be something where I'm telling you this is what you need to do. It's more reflecting on what this could mean to us. So have a look at this slide here. This is, I believe these are good up-to-date statistics. So this is the global distribution of wealth in the world. So 1.1% of the global population, that's 56 million people, hold 45.8% of global wealth. That isn't that astonishing? So that'd be if this is the world here, and I got one person perhaps to stand up, you would have 45% of all the wealth in this room compared to the world. And then it goes down. So 11.1% of the population, that's 888 million people, hold 39% of global wealth. And then it goes down, 32.8. That's 2.62 billion have 13% of wealth, or just over 13%. And then the remaining 55% of the population, that's 4.4 billion people, hold 1.3% of global wealth. So we clearly live in a world where the few have an awful lot of stuff. And I don't think any of this is a surprise to anyone in this room, but it does make you think. It does make you think when we probably, I think in the West, we probably throw most of the food away that we buy, not most of it, but a huge proportion of food is thrown away. Yet there are countries where people are literally starving because they haven't got food. How does that work? We don't like to think about it, but we know this is a reality. So in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament as well, we find clear commands regarding generosity, caring for the vulnerable. It says, when you harvest your field, don't go back to get what you have left behind. Leave it for the poor and the foreigner. So this is really to remember for the people of God, their own story of liberation, and ensuring that they also reflected God's generosity to other people. So God's expectation, I think, was clear, and I realize I've rushed through this, but if people enjoyed his gifts, if people enjoy everything that God has given them, then it's good that they share this with other people. That was God's intent. And it was responding to God's grace. God's grace being given something that we haven't earned or deserved, and responding to God's grace could be how we act, how we are generous with one another. So this cycle of generosity, which is mentioned, especially with the Jubilee year where things were sort of redistributed, was meant to sort of break this cycle of things being scarce, of having to hold on to things for fear that they might disappear, and just lead to sort of freedom, but actually putting eyes heavenward and trusting in God. So if we look at the New Testament and Jesus' teaching on generosity, we see that generosity is central to much of what Jesus talks about. And generosity is more than just what you do. It's a heart attitude. It's what goes on in your heart. You should be able to recognize your own heart response to this. And even as I'm speaking, you will be probably the only person who's able to fully recognize, you know, am I someone who is generous, or is there some room for me to be more generous? So I'll give you an example of this, where I have been challenged with my own generosity. Lucy, my wife, she's very generous when it comes to for buying gifts for family members, of which I have many, many, many. I think she's too generous. And she might buy, you know, really nice gift or order something. And I'm thinking, surely there's a cheaper version of that. Or do they have to have quite, you know, it's only there and it's not even a big birthday or a big celebration. But, you know, so, but for me, it's a money thing. And if I see a cheaper option, I think I love that. That's great. You know, they won't know how much it cost. And Lucy will say to me, but you know, where's the generosity in that? And this links to us trusting in God or trusting in what we have. In other words, if I give this person out of what I have, and they gain and what I have diminishes, I mean, I'm left without. But the better way to look at this is the more generous I can be, in a way, it shows something of sacrificing and thinking the best of the other people and wanting the other person to be blessed. And it then gives space to have faith in God for provision. And that's just a small example, but I mean, it's good to think about these things. What things do you think, oh, that's mine. I'm not sure if I want to be quite that generous. But Jesus challenges his followers to not be anxious about their needs. This is very familiar to you, but he talks about, you know, not being anxious about what they'll eat or drink or wear, because your heavenly Father knows what you need. And Jesus calls us to seek God's kingdom first and trust that everything else will be provided. It sounds so easy in black and white, doesn't it? Just seek God's kingdom first, everything else will be provided. Don't worry about it. But this is a huge shift from this mindset of things being scarce, where we're always worried about not quite having enough, to this mindset, which is the opposite of that, of abundance in God, where actually there is no limit to God's storehouse of what he has, of what he can give to us. And we can trust in God to freely give out of what we have received. Again, in Matthew, Jesus says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he's not talking just about money. He's talking about where our hearts are invested. And biblical generosity is all about the orientation of our hearts and placing our trust in God and not our material wealth. And I think a good indicator of where your treasure is perhaps what you hold on to the most. The thing that you think, well, I have to safeguard. Whether it's your time, perhaps it's your possessions, maybe your finances, or just your stuff. And we all have stuff. I mean, maybe there are certain things you can think of where you think, that is mine. And no one is going near that, because this I own. This belongs to me. But the reality is you're not going to own that for long. I mean, in 100 years' time, someone else is going to own it, or it'll just be buried in a hole somewhere. And I know that seems, you know, quite a depressing thought, but the fact is, we can have this mindset of it is mine. It's my precious thing. And I don't want it scratched or chipped. And, you know, I can't really lend that to you because it holds such sentimental value to me. You know, these sorts of things. And all I'm trying to do here is make us think about what it is to be generous, and sometimes that mindset that we could have about certain things. And it could even be a time thing. You know, I can't give you that much time because I need my time for me. And God is a God of miracles. And I've certainly experienced this myself, where one of the most precious commodities we have is time. Yet sometimes, miraculously, you can give time that you feel you don't have for something. Yet God, in his amazing provision, gives that time back and you're able to do more things in less time. God can work like that. Another example, powerful example of generosity in action comes from the parable of the Good Samaritan, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. In this story, a man is robbed and he's beaten. He's left for dead. And some religious leaders, they pass by, but they don't help. And it's a Samaritan, someone who's despised by the Jewish community, who steps in, who helps, who tends to the man's wounds, who ensures he's going to be looked after. And if there's any expense, he says, you know, I will sort this person out. And he does this to someone who can never repay him. Someone where there's no hope of getting that money back. And again, this demonstrates something of what generosity looks like. Is there are no strings attached. There's no expectation that if I give this, then I'll get something back. I know we can read in Scripture that it says, you know, if you sow, you will get more back in return. And you may have heard of the expression about, you know, preaching about prosperity. You know, the more you give, the more you'll get back. And the Bible does say that. But in generosity, we're not doing it to receive back. That's up to God. We do it because we want to reflect God to people around us. And this kind of generosity, it costs. It's inconvenience. And it blesses those who may never give back to you. It might bless someone and you might never have any reference to your act of generosity on this earth whatsoever. Someone might never know the secret generosity you've shown to other people. But God does. He's aware. And it's good for us. And it's not about giving out of our excess either. It's about giving in a way that reflects God's unconditional love for us. Another very well-known story, a powerful teaching Jesus gives, where he observes a poor widow. You can find this in Mark 12. And why others gave large sums of money out of their abundance, which can look very generous, he notices that the widow gave all she had to live on. And he highlights this, that generosity isn't demonstrated in how much you give, but by the sacrifice that's involved, by the trust that's involved in giving. So don't think that, well, I have nothing to give. I have nothing. Because we all have something. We all have something that we can give, and it's the heart behind it. So biblical generosity is a reflection of God's nature. Could you move that slide on for me, please? It's a God who is a generous giver. We're called to reflect his nature in how we give. It's an act of God's trusting God's provision. It flows from a belief that God will meet our needs. It's also a posture of the heart. It's not about the amount we give. It's about having our hearts open, being compassionate, willing to sacrifice for others. And it's the response to grace. We give because we've been given so much. God's grace towards us demonstrated in giving his son, the sacrifice of Jesus. He gave his all for us so that we might have life. And this could and should compel us to be generous. And it's also a participation in God's kingdom. It's a public witness of what God has done for us. When we are generous, we demonstrate something of God to people. So you might ask the question, What are the consequences of not being generous? What happens if we're not generous? Well, Jesus warns about the dangers of greed and hoarding in the parable of the rich fool. A man who has an abundant harvest decides to store it up for himself, building bigger barns to contain his wealth. But what is said to him is this word, fool. This night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, those whose will they be? And Jesus concludes this by saying, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And I think when we withhold generosity, I think it affects us spiritually. We become spiritually poor because we don't live in the freedom of God's provision. And where there's such control, we're really limiting what God can do in our lives. And this does affect us spiritually because there's nothing like being generous. I remember the first time, and again, I'm not saying this so I get my reward now, and you won't hear my reward crashing out of heaven, but this is just an example. In the early days of me being a Christian, I was probably 20 or 21, I went to a conference, and the person there did a really good job of talking about giving. And I'm not talking about giving this morning, I'm talking about generosity. And he was talking about giving, and he said, you know, do you really trust God? He said, when was the last time, this is a big challenge, when was the last time you just emptied your bank account and gave it away? And I thought, well, I mean, I didn't have a huge amount in my bank account, but I had some savings. I had a few hundred pound savings. And I just thought, I should give it all away. And I remember I wrote a check. In those days, we had things called checkbooks. And I wrote this check, and I chucked it in the bin, and I just gave every penny of my savings away. And there's something about doing that which was so freeing, because I thought, yeah, no one's going to know who I was. It was quite a big conference. No one's going to know who I was. No one's going to know how much I gave. But between me and God, I just thought, I trust God. I'm just going to give it all away. And it was there was something that wasn't, it was a spiritual thing. It was something that happened between me and God in that moment of just saying, well, I trust you. Now, I might not have even been generous. How sacrificial was it? I don't know. But the fact is, there is something about being generous that is more than just a practical thing. We are constantly bombarded with messages saying that we don't have enough in this world, as I made reference to begin with. We need more, we need bigger, we need better. But following Jesus means we should be living life differently. So some good questions to ask ourselves is, are you content with what you have? Are you content with your lot? Are you satisfied with what God has given you? And here's something that you may have already come to the conclusion. There will always be someone who has more than you. And there will always be someone who is worse off than you are. And that's just the way it seems to be, and it can seem unfair. Life can seem unfair. But instead of accumulating more for ourselves, we're called to give. Instead of seeking security in material wealth, we're really, the demonstration of what we read in Scripture is that we're to seek God and trust in his provision. And instead of focusing on our own needs, there seems to be a call to notice other people, notice the poor, notice those who don't have, and a need to give to them. In practical terms, this means living with open hands as opposed to closed hands. It means being willing to share not just our money, but our time, our resources, our homes. It means practicing hospitality, as I just said, caring for the poor, supporting the work of the church that you might belong to, and being a blessing to those around you. It means seeing everything we have everything that we have as a gift from God. There is nothing on this earth that God hasn't made. I was thinking about this and my head began to explode a little bit. But when God created the earth, everything that we see today was part of that creation, including Teslas. Because there's nothing new, as it says in Scripture, under the sun. It was all there. So there's nothing else, you know, everything is from God. Now, you could argue there are some things we make that perhaps God didn't want us to make out of all he created. But the fact is, everything you can see has come from God's abundant blessing to us. And a little warning to you, from this is from my own experience, that you need to be aware of, is the stuff you have will start to own you. Your finances, it will start to own your finances, it will start to own your time. Now, I'm not saying that's particularly bad. You just have to be aware of this, because you only get one block of time on this earth. And the more stuff you have, the more time it will take. And I'll give you an example from my life. There was a day when I never used to own a garden fence. And I look back on those days with joy. I lived in a flat and there was no garden, and there was certainly no garden fence. And then I moved house and I had a garden fence with a number of panels. And they broke occasionally and I'd fix them. Now the problem is, I am now responsible personally for 35 garden fence panels. I counted them up yesterday. Down one side of the garden, and somebody's trying to work out how big. My garden is huge. I'm in negotiation to have a third runway built there, but I'm not. It's not. I've got 35 fence panels, and they own me to some degree. Because when one of them breaks, I have a lovely neighbour who tells me very quickly. And so I have to just get into action. I have to buy a new fence panel. I have to fix it. I have to, you know, dig holes. I have to repair stuff, you know. And slowly but surely, I realise that the more of these I have, the more time it takes and the more money I have. And for some of you, you might be able to relate to this concept of the more things you have, the more they own you. And you don't really realise it, but they do. And they take up an awful lot of time and resource. And some of us need to get rid of some fence panels. I mean, I think I've heard my neighbour chanting, build a wall, build a wall. Which I'd love to build a wall there, but then I'd have to repair the wall. Anyway, but some of us need to sort of perhaps free up some of this because it's using so much of our resources, which stops us perhaps from being generous. And again, this is just to get you thinking about your own circumstances. So biblical generosity is more than just about giving money. It's a way of life that reflects God's heart. That's what we're talking about this morning. It's about living in a posture of open-handedness. What God has given me, I want to give to other people. I want others to be blessed. It's about trusting in his abundance. And the reality of generosity is as I made mention to, is that really the only person who can determine whether you're generous or not is you, because you know. Other people might think you are generous. I mean, here's an example. I don't know why I'm picking on him this morning, but if Elon Musk were to walk into this room and he came up to me and he said, here, Mark, here's a check for £1 million for the church, I would say, oh, that's not very generous. Would I say that? Because it appears generous, but is it really generous? Maybe not. So my point is, only you know if you're generous. And this morning, I just want you to allow God to speak to you. Maybe already, you know, God has already prompted you a little bit and you think, actually, there are some things that can change here. And this is between you and God. And as we look to Jesus, the ultimate example of generosity, who gave his life to us, let's be challenged to live generously in a world that holds on to things very tightly. Let's be people, let's be a church who will freely give, freely give out of what we have, who fully trust, who reflect God's abundance to everyone that we come across. And there's one thing that I haven't mentioned, which is the most precious gift that many of you have in this room. The one thing that you shouldn't hold on to, and that is the free gift of life that you've been given in Jesus. It's so easy sometimes to walk around with this incredible, eternal gift we have, and then miss opportunities where we can freely give. And that could be a kind word. That could be just giving someone the time of day who's struggling. That could be a colleague at work who may be saying something to you that's quite personal, and actually there might be something behind that that's fueling that. It could be someone that you meet as you're waiting to pick up your kids from school, and you just say, "Hi, how are you doing?" We can share what Jesus has given to us. We can be generous in our hearts towards those who might not know what it is to have the ultimate abundant gift, and that is the gift of life. So I pray that we would live as generous people, overflowing with the grace that we have received. And as we close, I just want to invite everyone, if you're able, to stand, and I'd like to pray for everyone this morning. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that everything belongs to you. Everything belongs to you. And we were invited into the world that you created, not of our own doing, but we are here. And we are created for purpose. We are created for an eternal relationship with you. We are created to worship you. We're created to enjoy the abundance that you have given us. So Lord, I pray that we would perhaps recalibrate our focus on what is ours. And Lord, although we know there are things we need, there are things, the ways that we live our life, and we are challenged as we read in the book of Acts that people sold their possessions, they distributed amongst the church. These are challenging things to us. And Holy Spirit, I pray that where we are challenged by you this morning, that we would respond to you in our hearts. Lord, you know each of us. And we also know that you do give. You do give to some. You let some people have responsibility for huge amounts of your resource. But Lord, would we use those resources well? Would we be good for each other in this church? Would we be generous towards each other in this church? And would us as a church be generous towards those who would come here, those that we meet, those that we go out to share your love with? Holy Spirit, would you continue to work in our lives? Would we truly trust you where you said, "Don't be anxious"? Lord, would that be our testimony, that anxiety would flee as we are generous with those around us? Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. And if you would like to know more about faith or us as a church, you can visit our website, www.christ-central.org.uk.